This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to Surreal Talk, a look inside the world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal.
Something's not right, man. Something's not right. Something's bullshit here, and I don't believe it.
Honestly, this crazy shit could be completely possible.
Disclaimer, we reserve the right to be wrong, ladies and gentlemen. You think you know the whole story? Think again.
Now your hosts, Eric and Everett.
Welcome to Surreal Talk, a look inside the world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal, a lineupmedia.fm production, and we are back this week talking about
Vault 7, Year Zero.
This is part two of our Vault 7, Year Zero.
Dissection? Discussion?
Discussion? Dissection?
I wouldn't say just dissection.
Penetration into the facts.
Kind of feeling the skin, you know, see what's
okay,
there.
Yeah, we're just rubbing the tip.
Just the tip.
Yeah, because we're fully not going to get all the way in.
Last week we discussed a lot of the crazy shit that they talked about in Vault 7. What did we go over last week?
What we went over last week was, how the CIA's hacking tools have all been revealed. How that Vault 7, the WikiLeaks release, basically just showed that the CIA can get into your Android, your iPhone, your Samsung Smart TV, that they've got all these different programs, that they've had all these different programs, and that actually that this is nothing new is what that showed. That
right.
This is...
We also talked about how they have the giant hacking base, basically, in Frankfurt, Germany.
Yeah, and I hadn't known about that. You'd brought that up to me. I didn't find that anywhere, and I think that's fucking scary. So, like, they've got an entire...
Right, it seems like all of the employees, so to speak, of that consulate are CIA agents. They all hold black passports, which are diplomatic passports, which are good enough to get them through any of the checkpoints in 25 countries over in Europe without any kind of extra search.
Okay, so let me get this is just...
So they're literally hours away from capitals of all these countries, you know, because Europe you can drive across in a day.
Yeah.
So...
So let me ask you this. So I've never owned a passport because I've never been out of the country. A black passport would make you be able to go other places that
it's
you can't.
It's a diplomatic passport.
It's a diplomatic passport.
Right.
Diplomats.
Right.
Okay.
And when you're a diplomat, you got all kinds of special rules.
Yeah, you have immunity and shit.
It's just been revoked. You never seen Lethal Weapon 2?
Yeah, but it's been 20
years. The guy
years.
From South Africa, he's like, I have diplomatic immunity. He says that the whole time. He shoots somebody. And at the end of it, he says, I have diplomatic immunity. And he goes, it's just been revoked. Pow! Shoots you in the head.
Oh, no, I don't remember.
It was
that
one of those great lines from an 80s movie. Yeah.
There's plenty of those.
Yeah, well, fuck you. You should have watched it.
Yeah, I probably should have.
So, Vault 7.
It's in Johnson's underwear. That's another great line from an 80s movie. You get it?
Yep.
What movie?
It was Breakfast Club.
That's right. It was Breakfast Club. What if your weed was on fire?
That's impossible, sir.
It's in Johnson's underpants. Yep.
I want to apologize, too. I sound real nasally right now to anybody listening on the podcast, and we've already talked about it a little bit on YouTube. But
yeah, that's why we're on Sunday today instead of on yesterday, our
normal
day. And
I'm still just sitting here sweating my butt off.
Yeah, he's sick. So I look.
But the show must go on,
he
man.
He has a freaking thing of Kleenexes right there by him. Look at this guy.
Shut up.
He's just...
Don't show him that too deep into my world.
He's just pathetic and sick and sore right now.
My nose is all chapped, too.
Anyway.
All right, well, let's get on it, man. We stopped last week talking about, some of their problems with Komodo antivirus. That's where we stopped.
Komodo dragons?
Not Komodo dragons. All right, let's get back to some of their examples. The CIA's Engineering Development Group, the EDG management system, contains around 500 different projects. Hey, you want to read this since I'm so nasally?
I sure do. Only some of which are documented by
I'll stop
zero.
Where I...
No, I'll just pick up right where you left off. Each with their own sub-projects, malware, and hacker tools. The majority of these projects relate to tools, too, that are used for penetration, too. Penetration, infestation, implanting, control, and exfiltration. Another branch of development focuses on the development and operations of listening posts and command and control systems used to communicate with and control CIA implants. Special projects are used to target specific hardware from routers to smart TVs.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So can you explain that to me? Because I can read. You can't read, but you're going to have to explain because I'm stupid.
Okay, so their listening post from looks like the way they've got it outlined here are basically they're basically trying to light up anything they can around their agents to listen to what's going on in the environment around them. That's a listening post. So they're using – they would classify your smart TV that they've infected as a listening post. Your phone would be a listening post to them.
Oh, okay. So that's just one of the many tools that they can use to listen in on you.
Right.
Okay, okay. Some example – projects.
Listening doesn't have to be just audio either, though. That's why, like, they'll put it in your router and they'll be listening, quote unquote, to your internet traffic.
Oh, okay, okay.
Think of it like that.
I get it now. Okay.
Right.
Some example projects are described below, but see the table of content, blah, blah, blah. Scrub my weekly issues. Okay, the CIA's handcrafted hacking techniques pose a problem for the agency.
Hold on. This is the, you forgot to read the name of the section. This is their tool called Umbridge. Doesn't it say Umbridge right there at the top?
Yeah, I guess it does. Umbridge.
Savage.
Each technique it has created forms a fingerprint that can be used by forensic investigators to attribute multiple different attacks to the same entity. This is analogous.
Hold on. Reread that whole paragraph again, a little slower.
Umbridge.
The CIA's handcrafted hacking techniques
pose a problem for the agency. Each technique it has created forms a fingerprint that can be used by forensic investigators to attribute multiple different attacks.
Okay, so what they're saying is whenever you program, it's like from playing a guitar or whatever, you have your own special way of doing it. And it's the same with the CIA.
Your own style.
Right. They have a style that can be used as a fingerprint.
Fair enough. And that's why we were talking about last week with how the Russian...
Right, and this part is going to detail Umbridge, which allows them to duplicate the fingerprints of other countries.
This is analogous to finding the same...
Analogous.
That's not how I like it.
You know what the word analogy means?
Yes, I know what the word analogy means. Finding the same distinctive knife wound on multiple separate murder victims.
Oh. Jesus, WikiLeaks. They went straight to fucking murder wounds.
The unique wounding style creates suspicion that a single murderer is responsible. So it's like an M.O.
Yeah, basically. Modus operandi.
As soon as one murder is solved, and then the other murders also find likely attribution. The CIA's remote devices branch.
They said fingerprints. Isn't that enough?
Right.
You know what I mean? What's a fingerprint, man? What do you mean? I don't get the reference.
No, they pretty much just laid it all out for you right there.
One more time. What is it here? Anyway.
Okay, so the CIA's remote devices branch, Umbridge Group, collects and maintains a substantial library of attack techniques stolen from malware produced in other states, including the Russian Federation. So,
right.
So if anybody's not familiar with what we're getting at right here, if you've watched any bit of news recently, you know how everyone's, oh, Donald Trump's in bed with the Russians. The Russians hacked our election, this, that, the other. Everyone's, they're pretty pissed off at Russia if you don't know exactly what's going on because you think Russia hacked our elections. But what this is...
It's
not saying it, but it's definitely opening the realm of possibility that the CIA was directly responsible for that by using this
malware. Jumping ahead.
Right. Well, I'm saying by using the malware that would have Russian fingerprints on it, making people think that Russia hacked our elections. So if the CIA actually wanted to hack the elections, they could make it look like the Russians. And that's what this Umbridge is.
Well, if you put that up with what we talked about last week, how they hacked and fucked around with the French elections in 2012. It's not something the CIA is beyond to fuck with an election.
No, exactly. We did fuck with the French election in 2012. Mm-hmm. So, and that's crazy. So we do this, and then we accuse others of doing it.
Right.
Anyway, with Umbridge and related projects, the CIA can not only increase its total number of attack types, but can also misdirect attribution by leaving behind the fingerprints of the groups that the attack techniques were stolen from. That means it can make it
red
look
herring.
It can make it look like what it wasn't.
You remember that pup named Scooby-Doo?
No.
It must be red herring every
what was
time.
What was the gray Scooby Doo that was his buddy?
That was Scooby Dumb.
Was his name Scooby Dumb for real?
Yeah.
And what about the little one? Scrappy Doo.
Scrappy Doo. Okay. Nobody likes Scrappy Doo.
I did. Scrappy Dabby Doo.
He was so annoying. He's like, I'm going to go get us. Like, we're trying to hide here. There's a real monster because there was real monsters when Scrappy
was around. He was the badass. He was always trying to.
But he wasn't really a badass.
No, it's not at all.
He was getting everybody in trouble. Anyway.
Umbridge components cover keyloggers, password collections, webcam capture, data. That reminds me. You got any tape? I have got to tape my webcam and my microphone on here.
Paranoid. You can't tape your microphone.
I can put a piece of cotton or something over it so that it doesn't.
We'll figure that out later.
Okay. Data destruction, persistence, privilege escalation, stealth, antivirus avoidance, and survey techniques. Man, that's crazy. So this Umbridge program It has all kinds of different things that it can do. It logs your keystrokes.
Well, no, what Umbridge Components, what it's saying is they look at the way, like, say, Russia would create their key loggers or their password collection, and they do it the same way Russia would do it. Or the way they would get, like, the way Russia would get around an antivirus program.
Yes.
Might be different than the way Swaziland would get around it. So they'll do things in the, like they've been trained by the KGB or whoever Russia's intelligence. I'm way behind on
no,
that.
No, that's KGB.
Is it still? I don't think it is.
Okay, we might not know that for sure.
Anyway, that's what it is.
It's just crazy. So, like, you can do something and make it look like somebody else. So you're framing them, essentially.
Pretty much.
You're making it look like they did it whenever you're just using the technique that they would use.
That's exactly what spies do. I mean,
yeah, spies like us.
That's just the name of a movie. I don't see how it's relevant. There was nothing in Spies Like Us that is even close to this.
Got you laughing, though, didn't it?
Have you ever even seen Spies Like Us?
No, but it's got John Candy and Steve Martin.
No, I don't think it has either of them.
Steve Martin.
Nah, Chevy Chase, Dan Aykroyd.
Fuck.
All right, move on to fine dining.
Okay, fine dining. I've never done any fine dining. Fine dining comes with a standardized questionnaire, i.e. menu, that CIA case officers fill out. The questionnaire is used by the agency's OSB, Operational Support Branch. To transform the requests of case officers into technical requirements for hacking attacks, typically exfiltrating information from computer systems for specific operations. The questionnaire allows the OSB to identify how to adapt existing tools for the operation and communicate this CIA malware configuration.
So you get what this is?
Not at all.
This is something they give to, okay, I'm an agent. I got a system I need hacked.
Right.
Here, please fill out our questionnaire on the system you need hacked.
It ain't easy.
That's exactly what it is.
No, come on.
Tell
it's not that easy,
what operating
right?
system? Windows XP. Okay. How are they connected to the internet? Do they have a hard line? I'm going to need to
that's
know that.
Not what that's...
That's exactly what this is detailing. I mean, it might not be that simple, but that's what this is. It's a standardized questionnaire
and the relevant
that a CIA case officer fills out.
I guess it is.
It's used by the operational support branch to transform the request into a technical requirement for a hacking attack. That is exactly what it is. You're giving technical specifics to their branch in the form of a standardized questionnaire. They can be like, here's the tools you need to do your infiltration. So it's like Ethan Hunt or Hawk or whatever. Ethan Hunt calling up the CIA and go, hey, here's what I'm sitting at. Or Trinity calling up, I need a download for this fucking chopper.
Yeah.
And they send it right to you.
I need a, what'd she say? I need a program.
Apache for
I need a hard pack for an Apache. Yeah.
Something like that.
Matrixes were pretty good movies. Does that say Gymprovise or am I looking at that wrong?
Where are you at?
Right below where we were at. Gymprovise software.
Gymprovise.
Yeah. Okay. So at the bottom of that page, man.
Yeah. We're not that far down yet, though.
I just thought that was funny. Among the list of possible targets of the collection are asset, liaison asset, system administrator, foreign information operations, foreign intelligence agencies, and foreign government entities.
Okay, this is just saying that these are the people that they would look at for collecting of this data. So asset and liaison asset are, that's not really important. System administrators are people like me who basically run the programs that keep shit going.
Mm-hmm.
Foreign informational assets. Yeah, it's just detailing a list of targets. Keep going.
Notably absent is any reference to extremist or transnational criminals.
Well, why would the CIA have that? Especially for the hackers, they don't really have access to that kind of people. Well, you wouldn't think.
I bet they do. The case officer is also asked to specify the environment of the target, like the type of computer operating system used, just what you're saying, internet connectivity, installed antivirus utilities, as well as a list of file types to be exfiltrated, like office documents, audio, video, images. Okay, so you have to tell it. I don't even make
that. Why does that not make sense?
It makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. If they're developing.
Why is it that easy?
Why is it that easy? They've spent time to create basically a list of every type of exploit for every type of software. All you have to do is say, hey, this is the type of software, and they go, this file, okay, pull this file.
So do they have an automatic, like, program that runs that just, that like, okay, so
once no, you fill
once
out
you
the
fill
menu.
Fill out the questionnaire.
Right.
An algorithm picks out what all your answers are and then hacks you.
I doubt it's that simple. I'm sure there might be a tool that says, okay, you know, for some of the lower level stuff, yeah, you can use this and this and this to bypass that. But they've probably got a couple of really smart guys sitting in the back of a room reading these requests going, okay, here's what you're going to need to do, but watch out for this special caveat. I'll be on my line if you need me. Just
I don't like how often you use that word. Caveat.
Why?
Yeah, you used to use it a lot. Yeah, you use it a lot.
It means, you know what it means.
I know what it means. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you use it a lot.
Sorry, does it make me sound like a dick?
No, not at all.
Okay.
The menu also asks for information if recurring access to the target is possible and how long unobserved access to the computer can be maintained.
Good, that's good shit to know. So if they got a, they create, like, their only exploit is something like a physical USB drive that you got to stick in for that system. It's the only thing that'll work.
That's the only thing that'll...
They got to know that, you know, what's my time period here? What can we set up? How much time we were working with? So they're pretty detailed in their plans.
I just don't like how... I can't believe that they do this shit.
What do you mean? Not only can they do it, they've did it so much that they know every little thing you got to...
perfected it.
Yeah, they know every little thing you got to watch out for whenever you're trying to break in.
It's okay. So here in the conspiracy world, everybody always knows it's like... CIA's watching you, you know. I mean, that's like a big thing. Like, everybody, CIA, they're watching.
Of course, yeah, man. CIA's watching.
But what's important about this Vault 7 is that they actually are fucking listening and watching.
We always knew they were. I mean, really, everybody knew that.
Yeah, I mean, we knew that the capabilities were there and that they wouldn't have an issue crossing that line at all. But what this is saying is that they have been doing this to American citizens for a long time. At least, what, since Odd 8?
Hey, Frank Reynolds out on the chat saying, I haven't looked up at the chat in a while, but I caught this. He says he's going to put a condom on his phone so it'll be protected.
Ooh, better use a Trojan. Lifestyle suck.
Now, somebody already corrected him on it. I just thought that was pretty funny.
Don't think how it's worked, Frank. I don't know. I mean, I'd be willing to try anything if that, I mean.
Yeah, make sure you don't use anything with, like, lube on it.
Oh, yeah. You want.
You have grease down the side of your face every time you use your phone?
Ugh. What's that sterilization?
Spermicide?
Yeah, spermicide lubricant.
This has gotten gross.
Yeah, it has.
Okay, the next section is titled Improvise, and I'm not sure what this JQJ Improvise, it might be the name of the program, JQJ Improvise. I don't know, read it up, we'll figure it out.
Improvise is a tool set for configuration, post-processing, payload setup, and execution vector selection for survey exfiltration tools supporting all major operating systems like Windows, Bartender, Mac OS, Jukebox, and Linux.
Okay, so what that's saying is, the names of the programs inside the Improvise setter. Bartender for Windows, Jukebox for Linux, or Jukebox for Mac, and Dance Floor for Linux.
Its configuration utilities like Margarita allows the NOC, the Network Operations Center,
the NOC. Sorry, I'm just making sure you're using the, it's called the NOC. You want a technical?
NOC is non. Did you ever watch the fucking movie with Al Pacino and Network Colin Support? Farrell?
Yeah.
The CIA movie,
uh-huh.
A NOC. Non-operative cover agent.
Sounds like Naka.
You watch that movie and get back to me. He steals Tauruses because they're the most common car.
Okay.
Anyways. Hi.
Next section is titled The Hive.
Are you fucking kidding me right now? Is this guy fucking serious?
I am kind of. Every time
Hive is a multi-platform.
It's a multi-platform CIA malware suite.
Fuck it. Fuck it.
Finally, I got to get you a little rattled. It's rare.
Go ahead.
You're doing a good job. You really are.
Hive is a multi-platform CIA malware suite and its associated control software. This project provides customizable implants for Windows, Solaris, MikroTik.
Solaris.
I mean, it doesn't matter if it's Solaris or Solaris.
I just
used in internet routers and Linux platforms and a listening post, command and control infrastructure to communicate with these implants. This is like Chinese.
It's basically we're talking about the same thing again and again and again.
Yeah, I mean,
these are just they have different subsets of programs that can get into anything.
This is the good one here. The frequently asked questions.
Okay, let's go to the frequently asked questions.
Why now? WikiLeaks published as soon as its verification and analysis were ready. So, like, people like were asking, like, why wouldn't WikiLeaks publish this shit as soon as they had it?
Right.
But they had to verify that it was all legit, and they had to analyze it, you know, to make sure that they weren't putting anything out there that could, how would you say that, compromise agents, maybe secret agents over.
Right, you don't want to blow cover.
Exactly. So, you know, they had to make sure that everything was secure, that they weren't putting anybody's life in danger.
They had to take and redact a whole bunch of stuff, so then whenever they release it, like, they didn't actually release.
Next part is the redactions.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. In February, the Trump administration has issued an executive order calling for a cyber war review to be prepared within 30 days. While the review increases the timeliness and the relevance of the publication, it did not play a role on setting the publication date. Okay, so redactions, names, email addresses, and external IP addresses have been redacted in the release pages. 70,875 redactions in total.
So that's what an average of over 8.5 redactions per page.
Per page, yeah, because there's
8,761, I think.
Yeah, okay, so over redactions. Some items may have been redacted that are not employees, contractors, targets, or otherwise related to the agency, but are, for example, authors of documentation for otherwise public projects that are used by the agency. This is just saying that there's tens of thousands of routable IP address references.
You must have skipped a page.
No.
You're way down on it.
Yeah. We're just saying why didn't they bring it out until now? So
right.
Identity versus person. The redacted names are replaced by user IDs to allow readers to assign multiple pages to a single author. So they kind of made like a little, what would you call that? Like a way to get through the release easier because they...
Have you ever used Wikipedia?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, do you understand WikiLeaks?
Yes.
Okay. You know how Wikipedia works? Everything that's like important is highlightable when you go to the next page?
Yes.
That's how they build all these things.
Right.
You can link through them. It's a wiki document.
So I'm explaining that in case no one else understands it.
Well,
thank
why don't you call it what it is?
Fucker. that's all I think that's important here. Now, year zero contains 7818. See, you were wrong.
No, no, no. I was not.
With 943 attachments from the internal development groupware.
A what? Attachments?
Attachment. Attachment. My CH sound stopped.
Your CH sound stopped?
Yeah.
Hold on. We should have went through this a little bit better before we started.
No, no, I don't think we should have.
Let's move on to dark matter.
I think so.
Yeah.
Wait. How did WikiLeaks obtain each part of Vault 7?
There's a good question. Oh, they just say we're not giving up our sources.
That's why I read that. I thought that was funny. Because obviously they're not going to give up their sources. That person would be killed, I thought.
All right. Let's start with dark matter. Dark matter basically details their efforts to intercept and implant their code inside of all Apple devices. What are you laughing about?
Fucking Seegers. Always giving me shit.
What's he saying?
He says, email addresses. At least show up for the podcast sober on Sundays there, Otis.
Hey, I thought the same thing. I'm like, well, what's an address?
Fuck you guys.
Yeah. So they released Dark Matter on the 23rd, which is what, 4 days ago, 3 days ago?
Mm-hmm.
Let's start the read.
Tastes like hose water.
Today, March 23rd, 2017, WikiLeaks releases Vault 7 Dark Matter, which contains documentation for several CIA projects that infect Apple Mac firmware, meaning the infection persists even if the operating system is reinstalled. Firmware exists before your hard drive, right? So the normal...
Oh, you're fucking telling the story.
Okay. Man, I don't want to give a whole discussion on how computers work. Let's just say your operating system is contained in your hard drive.
Yeah.
And then you got your motherboard, which is the heart of your computer. Well, there's a chip on there that tells your computer how to work your hard drive and all your other peripherals.
Yeah.
They install it on that. So that as a standard user, you have no access to that chip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So you wait. As a standard user, you have no access to that chip?
You can overwrite your firmware. They have what are called BIOS updates and things like that to where you get sometimes new features or bug fixes. But generally, a standard user who would just be restoring their computer would not have access to that.
No. Okay. So I'd be a standard
user. Apple themselves does not release firmware updates that often. Like once every year or so, you might get a firmware update on your updates on your Mac.
Really?
Yep. I don't think I've ever – I don't remember the last time I got a firmware update on my iPhone. So
I had a computer that said I was running an unsolicited version of Windows one time.
Unsolicited?
No, that ain't what it said. What did it say? You know what it said.
Unauthorized. Yeah,
unauthorized.
It's probably because somebody gave you a bad key or something. I don't
probably.
Know. Anyway, let's see. It's developed by the CIA's Embedded Development Branch, the EDB.
The EDB.
The set of documents explains the techniques used by the CIA to gain persistence on Apple Mac devices, including Macs and iPhones, to demonstrate their use of firmware malware. Among others, these documents reveal the Sonic Screwdriver Project, as explained by the CIA, is a mechanism for executing code on peripheral devices while a Mac or laptop is booting.
So what does that mean?
So basically, while a computer's booting, it has a different set of permissions on what type of stuff can run. So things that is a peripheral device, it means it plugs into USB, it plugs into your FireWire ports.
I gotcha.
Thunderbolt ports.
Ethernet.
And it allows code to be injected on those devices and ran across the USB to bypass the security. So that's just another one of their exploits they figured out. They figured out that they can bypass the EFI. So if you set a password on your computer at the firmware level, generally there you can't go on and format the computer to get access to it. If you, it's the first thing that happens, it comes up and asks you, I need the password to get this going. But it's not quite the first thing that happens, apparently. So if you ever take your Mac to like the Apple Store,
nope.
I've had to do that a few times. First thing they do is they grab one of these little Thunderbolt adapters, and we'll get into this in a minute, and they hook it up to their network. And on their network, they have machines that are running like a type of software that tells your Mac to boot up off the network on their special software rather than booting right into the OS. So that's basically what they figured out to do is to create their own version of a boot system that comes on before the security kicks in.
Okay, so when I first say this, you're gonna think this is not at all related, but I'll relate it. The Fappening.
Right.
Okay, so that was they figured out how to get into iPhones.
That was social engineering as far as I know.
They figured out how to get into iPhones by
it's
just...
iCloud.
Okay, so what was it? They just...
People were like, okay, so you know whenever on your iPhones, did you ever have iCloud?
Yeah.
Basically, it's just internet storage.
I just want to hear him explain it.
It's just internet storage.
Uh-huh.
It could be automatic. It could be used for automatic backups of photos or your notepad documents on your iPhone.
Right.
Or your passwords. Yeah. So what had happened, people like celebrities had set their phone to automatically back up their photos to iCloud. So if they lost their phone, they could just re-download their photos.
Exactly.
But somebody had gotten access to their Apple ID username
and password. No. Wrong. The reason that the Fappening happened is because whenever you would access iCloud like that through a computer, they didn't give you a limited number of times to enter a password. So they were... entering a password. Nope, wrong. You know how if you enter
so
a password.
So they were able to brute force it, is what you're saying?
Yes, exactly. So if you enter a password on your iPhone, if you do it what, 15 times wrong, you have to wait like 10 minutes, right? Well, when you go into the iCloud deal, these guys were doing that, but there was no set amount that you could do that. It wasn't kicking them out, so they were just fucking figuring out them passwords.
Hang with me here. I'm looking for
Ever's doing a little bit of live Googling now, ladies and gentlemen. He's trying to prove me wrong. Tux by a 12 gauge. Yes.
Okay.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong exactly.
Whenever
you try to do a password recovery, it doesn't check. It's not on password entry. It's so whenever you go to say, hey, I lost my password, if you put in an email address.
Yeah, the forgot my password part.
Right. Well, to check and see, it doesn't put a limit on how many times you can say if this is a real account or if this is the correct password on that screen. So. You're not wrong. You're just an asshole.
Right.
As you would say.
Exactly.
Anyway.
But that would also be, that, isn't that like a way in? I mean, that's not so much the CIA.
Well, you still, once they figured out the password, it's still social engineering, in my opinion. All right, moving on. Sonic screwdriver
that's
was
right,
the
witching hour. That's exactly right.
What'd she say?
He said that's how we got the Jennifer Lawrence pics from the cloud.
I wonder if it has anything to do with the page, like the wrestler WWE page, who has it.
Yep.
It's pretty much the same
2.0.
thing.
2.0. I don't know if it was accessed the same way.
Right.
You know, it's weird that I know much about this Fappening that I'm more... That's what I know the most
you
about here.
You pervert.
Right. No, but I don't know if it was accessed the same way, but yeah, that's 2.0.
I doubt it. All right, the next program they talk about here in Dark Matter is Dark Sea Skies. It's an implant that persists in the EFI firmware of MacBook Air computers. So I guess that's...
What's mine?
You have a MacBook Air. Okay. So it's specifically for your type of computer. It consists of Dark Matter, CP, and Night Skies, respectively EFI, kernel space, and user space implants.
Okay.
So it's just three programs with three different ways on that particular computer that's outlined under Dark Sea Skies. That's okay, so to put this in Eric language, Dark Sea Skies, if you look it up in CIA, it's three different program sets to get into that type of computer. They've got three different types of exploits from EFI, which is the firmware, kernel space, which has something to do with the CPU, that's above me even, and user space implants, which I'm still not even sure about that either. I think that's probably like standard malware you might get from the internet.
Right.
Yeah. And there's documents on something called Triton, which is an OS X malware. So OS X is the if you have any kind of new MacBook, it runs OS X.
What year is this?
That's probably 2009. It's kind of old.
Yeah, fuck, 8 years. It works for me.
Click on the Apple menu, go About This Mac. We can find that out real quick.
I don't even know where that is.
Top left just looks like an Apple. Go to About This Mac.
So, I mean, basically the CIA is probably watching us right now.
No, man. Why would they watch you? Why would anyone watch you?
Because I'm fucking interesting.
You're not. So Triton has an infector object called Dark Mallet. And its EFI persistent version, which goes on the firmware, is called DareStark. So while DareStark manual is released, or in the release dates to 2013, there are other documents in Vault 7 that show that they're still using DareStark and updating it continually. So what's in the vault only shows the old version. It still shows that they're updating it. So it doesn't have the complete documentation on DareStark. What was the other part of DareStark called?
The other, it was really close to that.
Yeah, DareStark, DareStall, something like that.
No, it was, shit.
Yeah, I lost it
too. I had it right here, dude. DareStark, fuck.
They also had Night Skies 1.2, which was a beacon loader implant tool for the iPhone. What was noteworthy about Night Skies is that it had reached version 1.2 by 2008. And you see this in everybody that's talking about this dark matter, too. They'll bring up this exact thing. That is expressly designed to be physically installed on the factory fresh iPhones. So phones that have not come out of the box, that you haven't turned on the first time yet, they need to have access to it before the user ever sees it. So what you can get out of this, one thing leads to another. For them to have been using this program since at least 2008, it had entered version 1.2, they've had to have been able to interrupt the physical supply chains for iPhones for that long. They've had to have a way in. Now it's either an Apple warehouse manufacturing, somewhere in that area, in the mail, somewhere along the lines, the CIA has a way to get a hold of these phones. But you asked an interesting question, too, today before the show we were talking about this. What if their target, the person that they would normally just intercept the phone, just goes down to your local AT&T or Singular store
and whoever, just buys one?
That I don't know. You got to figure maybe at that point they've got another listening post set up. And they're like, well, I'm going to go down today and get a new iPhone at the iPhone store. And then they go down and, you know, they intercept what's in the store. Say, we're recalling what you have, and here's a whole new set of phones that you can sell. Right. It's the only thing I can think of.
At this point, with them being able to get in any phone, any computer, wouldn't it just be better just to buy like a, you know, burn phone, like a prepaid Go phone or something like that? You know, I mean, and I say better, but I mean secure, more secure.
That's why drug dealers do it. I've watched The Wire like a million times.
Yeah.
They deal with burners all the time. What else we got here? It says, while CIA assets are sometimes used to physically infect systems in the custody of a target, it is likely that many CIA physical access attacks have infected the target organization's supply chain, including by interdicting mail orders and shipments, which is what we said before, getting them in the mail.
So wait, hang on. Let's think about the logistical nightmare that would be. If you had to... Now... Okay, so I guess it wouldn't be so bad if you were trying to.
No, this answers your question about why they don't just, what if they go to the iPhone store? It states here that it looks like they're, for ones, leaving the United States. So it'd be for foreign targets.
Oh.
So they have to basically order them like that.
Right, yeah. Anything that leaves.
I'm sure there's iPhone stores in like Great Britain and, you know, places like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's Apple stores everywhere.
But, you know, outside of Dubai. You know what I mean? Or Saudi Arabia or somebody like that. That'd be easy enough to intercept.
So I'm going to make a completely made-up scenario.
If it goes through customs, right?
I don't know. I've never been through customs.
You never shipped nothing internationally?
No.
Ever had something shipped to you internationally?
No.
Huh.
No.
Are you a xenophobe? Do you fear different people than you? Different races?
No, not at
different,
all.
Different cultures?
No. So let me ask you a question. Let's say... The CIA was like, you know, they have them a little meeting and they say, okay, we want to target this company of people. You know, there's a company that we want to fucking hack all their phones. So this company orders a shipment of iPhones for all of their people that work there. So what would they do? Would they have to literally go to the fucking post office and get each individual phone, pull it out of the box, fuck with it, put it back in, go back to the post office, and then it get reshipped to the company?
Yep. Open it, infect it, resend it.
Okay, so they couldn't do that remotely. They couldn't infect that remotely?
No, because they haven't had a chance. How could they do that?
That's what I'm asking.
No, you get it out of the box, and then you turn it on. That's all there is to it.
Okay.
So that's why they need factory fresh. So they got to have it before you turn it on.
Do you think that
plants
at the Apple product?
No, I don't. I think what they have is a way to stop something that customs or get into the post office, both government facilities. So it's not hard to be like,
fair enough,
this
yeah.
guy is, you know, he's somebody from the home office down in Denver or wherever. I don't know. It's much more likely that way. So then they've probably got some sort of boot drive. They plug into the lightning port in the bottom of an iPhone. And as soon as you turn it on the first time, similar to the way like a Mac computer, if you've got the little dongle for Ethernet, it starts to boot off of that. Loads their software, patches the firmware on the iPhone. They've put it back in the box carefully, reheat shrink it, send it back off.
Huh. That's just,
you know what's weird, too, is when you get an iPhone, it's got heat shrink on the outside of it, and there's a sticker that's got your phone number, your account number, and all that shit, your name on it.
Your IMEI.
So they're so prepared that they're recreating the heat shrink. It's going to look, got to look pretty normal. They got to be able to recreate that sticker, stick it back on there. I guess it's not that big of a deal, but.
So what about targeted?
A lot of effort.
What about targeted? Say if they wanted to do an individual and they couldn't get direct access to his iPhone, could they fuck
beforehand?
It up? Wait a minute. So could they fuck his iPhone up remotely to where he has to take it somewhere to get it repaired?
Okay, that's a good question.
And then so they could do that.
They could. That's one way to do it. But if it's actually so good, their implants, that once you get infected, even Apple can't get it off.
Really?
Well, as far as like you so can't take it down to the Apple store and have them restore it,
well,
do
yeah,
anything they can do.
But to be fair, at the Apple store, you're just working with a couple of 20-year-olds that do this.
They have access to tools, though. Like I said before, you got these boot diagnostic tools that we don't have as standard people. So they have enough training to do at least like low-level type formats.
Okay, so the people that work at the Apple stores are actually pretty good technicians.
They're not horrible. They're not horrible.
They're better than you.
I wouldn't say that.
Here we go.
No, they've gone through a specific set of training. They know how to troubleshoot a device. I'm going to say they're good at that. How about that? What are you reading?
Seegers, of course.
What?
He says, so let's say a guy, Eric, wants to go to a foreign country. He goes through customs. They pull him out of line. Take his stuff.
What? And while the anal orifice search is going on, they clone his phone. Yeah, you could do that.
I'm none the wiser. You think I wouldn't notice about all the anal orifice? Yeah.
You've been through a lot of that?
No, I never have at all. But I mean, can you tell if someone's fucked with your phone like that? I mean, that's totally not something you would know, right?
Okay, so one guy who got infected, he was over in a conference in Eastern Europe, and you ever heard of a stingray device or a stinger device?
Yes, I know what stingray is. Police use those.
Yeah, so somebody over there was using one of those, and you know how it works. It basically it acts like it's a cell phone tower itself.
Yeah,
okay, and it relays. So. He had noticed that there was a weird delay or something like that. He had noticed that something was off. He was having trouble accessing a certain website only when he was close to his hotel. But when he was away from his hotel, that website worked fine. So something in the middle he knew was off with just this one cell phone spot. So he took it down to Apple. Sure enough, there was something on it, and that's the guy I told you about. They couldn't figure out how to get rid of it.
Yeah. So that's just fucking nuts, man.
It's pretty crazy. Here's another thing for you Apple users and iPhone users. Whenever you make a backup of your iPhone on your computer, you should know that everything that your phone has on it is in that backup, from emails to text messages to phone numbers to pictures.
Nudies.
To anything like that. So if you take your computer in to have it worked on, you might think about deleting your iPhone backups, because there's software out there, it's free, that will look on your computer for any iPhone backup, tell you which backup you're looking at, and boom, explode all the stuff. So there'll be a messages tab that shows all the text messages, an email, contacts, notes. Like every subsection of data on your phone is blasted out, and you can go through any of it.
That's crazy.
So
what you're saying is, let's be honest, nudes are great, but don't take them and don't send them, because you're at severe vulnerability.
Well, think about this, what I just told you. Even you took it, it's a month ago, you're like, shit, I want to delete it. But if you've even hooked your computer up to your phone up to your computer to do iTunes, or if you've got it set up with wireless hookup, or you're doing an iCloud backup to your phone,
right,
that image
it's
still persists.
There.
It's created, it persists in data form somewhere. Now, whether somebody's going to know where to look for it to pull it out, that's hard to say.
Somebody
but that's what these people
where.
Do. It's like whenever, like the old days, whenever a spy would go through your trash outside with a flashlight looking for old bills or whatever. That's not what people do anymore. They go through your computer and they get real smart about what they're looking for. You know what I mean? To you, it might just look like some weird fucking 1 gigabyte file with a weird file name and an extension you've never heard of before.
Right.
To somebody like that, to a hacker who knows what they're looking at, that's your entire phone packaged up and ready to go.
This shit is nuts, man. It's nuts.
And I'm not picking on Apple here, because I love the way that works. As a user, it's really convenient to be able to have all of that stuff easily backed up and replaceable and restorable on any device I want. But at the same time, whenever you create a repository for all of your data that way, you better secure your stuff. You better be thinking about a long password and anybody actually anymore, you need to stop thinking about a password as a password. Start thinking of it as a passphrase. Come up with like passwords like this. This is my password. It is long and secure and very hard to guess. It's like 40-something characters long.
Right.
But it's plain English, but you would never be able to brute force that in a million years.
No, no, no. It's just too complex. It's too long. Well,
think about even the fastest computer in the world can't do more than a few million guesses in a minute. So something 40 characters long.
Math.
You're talking millions of years. So at that point, something so long, you don't even need to worry about having like special characters, uppercase, lowercase.
No, hyphens, none of that shit.
Get it really long. And you can even make it like, this is my password for Facebook. Can you guess it? This is my password for Gmail. Can you guess it? Something like that.
Right.
It's long, and it's the same password for everything. You just change out the name of your service or something like that. The downside of doing that is, though, if somebody comes along and finds your password for Gmail,
you're completely vulnerable on every aspect of your
life. It's still better, though, than the way most people will be like,
I think
pass 1234, and they use it for every website. Or even if it's like your daughter's middle name plus your birthday, if you use it for every single website, you know.
Yeah, I got to change shit.
Yeah, don't say what any of your stuff is.
No, well, they already know my phone unlock screen from last week because you were telling me, hey, what's your unlock? You know, so they already know that.
Yeah, long story of it, just be smart about it. Don't change your password as often as you can handle it. Every 90 days, I suggest.
90 days?
Every 90 days. Keep them guessing.
Fuck.
Do longer the better. It like I said, it doesn't have to be complicated. Just make it long. But you'll run into some websites, too, that won't allow you to do longer than 16-character passwords, so that's a problem, too.
Yeah, that's because they want to be able to get in. Yeah, fuck them guys.
They need to get with the now, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is a time where you need to allow for greater security. Google's getting on top of it, too. Like, you'll notice any website now that has a place where you can store your password.
Right.
If the website
and what you mean by that is where it says save your password, you just click that?
Right. Or any website actually has a login feature now that if they don't have what's called HTTPS service, which is like the secure version of standard internet, it runs on a whole different port and it encrypts all your traffic back and forth. If you're not running through that, they will mark on your website up by the bar, not secure. Like flagging your website as a not secure website.
So, okay. So, but like on like this right here says secure HTTPS.
Right.
Okay. So that's.
That's secure.
But I don't remember there being like...
You don't remember the S, do you?
No, I don't remember it ever being... Yeah, the S was like HTTP. When did the
HTTP
S start
colon.
Getting there?
So normal hypertext transfer protocol requests from a web server such as Apache or any other website, they operate on port 80. So you have an IP address, which is your computer, and different services that run on your computer, like web servers or email servers, they have a port. So it's like, say your server is 192.168.1.5.
Yeah, just tell everybody your IP address.
That's an internal IP address anyway.
Okay,
it's used all over the world on any private network. So your web server will be 192.168.1.5:80. But when you're on a web browser, it's when you do HTTP, it knows you're on port 80.
Okay.
So sometimes you might run a web server on an extra port like 8080. So you would do www.whatever.com. :8080 and you get a different web server that's running on port 80. So that's the same thing with HTTPS. They run their web the web browser on port 443 and all communications through that port is encrypted, generally using like a 256-bit or 1024-bit encryption scheme.
Right.
So what I would suggest, I use a plugin for Chrome called HTTPS Anywhere. And it forces it checks to see if there's a website, if it has an HTTPS version, it forces your browser to switch over to it. So it makes sure that all of your web traffic is encrypted.
Oh, so it's trying to secure it all for you.
Right. I take a lot of steps, little steps like that to just try to secure myself. It's small. And for people who don't know a lot, like, you know, the teenager down the block, it's enough to stop them. You're never going to stop the CIA. I don't have any advice for you there. Keep using your Apple products. They're not targeting you.
No, they're
end of the day, they're not targeting you.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
if they are targeting you, fuck you, because you probably need to be targeted.
Yeah, you're an asshole, right?
Well, you might not be. You might be a protester. You might be a journalist.
You might be a sovereign citizen.
If I was a journalist, I don't think I'd use an Apple.
Fuck no. There's definitely a war on whistleblowers.
I worked in a newspaper a newspaper for 13 years. At that time, Apple was not at all common. But these days, you're starting to see it a lot because it's getting to be a cheaper product. It's a simple product to use. So I still wouldn't use it.
No.
That said, Windows, from the look of it, seem to have as many or more vulnerabilities.
Hey, I wanted to read that Apple press release.
Don't trust us, Frank. Frank asked, what if I trust you guys? Don't trust us. We'll turn you in.
Now, this is what Apple had to say about the Vault 7.
Oh, yeah, their response to Vault 7. This was pretty good.
What Apple had to say was, Apple is deeply committed to safeguarding our customers' privacy and security.
Thank you.
A spokesperson said. Well, the technology built into today's iPhone. You mind if I go ahead?
Sorry. Right, I'm a commenting fuck.
The technology built into today's iPhone represents the best data security available to consumers, and we're constantly working to keep it that way. Our products and software are designed to quickly get security updates into the hands of our customers, with nearly 80% of users running the latest version of our operating systems. While our initial analysis indicates that many of the issues leaked today were already patched in the latest iOS, we will continue to work rapidly to address any unidentified vulnerabilities. So,
here. Let me put this
good guy Apple.
Let me put a bad guy Apple. Not bad guy Apple. Not so great Apple. You ever heard of jailbreaking?
Yeah.
Or rooting, as it's known on a droid. If they can't stop people from finding exploits that allow them to run unsigned code, which is what a jailbreak allows you to do, so you can run your own programs that didn't have to pass Apple certification, didn't have to go into the App Store.
Right.
If they can't stop that, they're never going to stop the government. You know what I mean?
What would make you say that?
Well, the people who create these exploits that allow you to jailbreak your phone, they're not CIA-level hackers. They're not CIA-level software engineers for the most part. They're people that they're the upper echelon of, like, script kiddies, if you will. If they had any kind of real knowledge, I would say they wouldn't be doing that. That's too low level. But what I'm saying is if Apple can't write software that doesn't already have these exploits that even low-level people like these type of hackers can find, they have no chance of stopping the CIA. The CIA will find any little opening and push their way in.
This shit is fucked.
Yeah, and it's also reality. This is the world we live in now. You cannot expect complete privacy anymore. You can want it all day long, but you cannot reasonably expect that you have complete privacy.
No, there's no privacy's dead, dude. There is no such thing. Like I read in last
unless
week,
you live off the grid. But even then,
what I read last week, the
with air jumps and shit now.
No, Comey, the guy from the FBI, he even just said like there is no such thing as complete personal privacy anymore in this country. That shit is gone. It's over. The time's passed. You want privacy? You better get a fucking time machine and go back to the 50s because you ain't fucking getting it now. There's no privacy no more.
Yep.
You can shut your door. You can put the covers over your heads, but they're still going to fucking know, okay?
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that pretty much covers our final thoughts on it, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't know what else to do with this. I'm done with it. I'm done with CIA. I'm done with the fucking Vault 7.
We're not done with CIA. We're not done with Vault 7.
It's pissed me off because, you know...
We're coming right back to this topic as soon as they release something.
Well, right.
Maybe not right back to it. You know what we'll probably end up doing, though, because Year Zero was like 10 times like the size of Dark Matter?
Just a straight WikiLeaks that we can do Volume 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
We'll probably do it like that. But what I'm saying, Dark Matter didn't have near the data that the Year Zero had.
No.
So it's probably easy enough to say that the coming releases in Vault 7 will not be that large. So we could probably just throw them on to the end of any upcoming shows. Whenever they release one, we'll just read it, talk about it, and move on from there.
Or we could just do like a WikiLeaks newest WikiLeaks release episode.
Do like a 15-minute episode release it?
Well, not even that. I was just saying like every time something important comes out, you know, we could just add it to WikiLeaks Volume 5. This is WikiLeaks Volume 6. Just some shit that WikiLeaks has done. You know what I mean?
Fair enough for me.
I don't know. Either way.
All right. Well, let's invite everybody out to come out to Atlantic City this week.
Yeah, let's talk about our trip a little bit.
We'll be there Thursday and Friday and Saturday.
And Sunday.
You can come see us at Caesars Atlantic City. We'll be at the UGC Ultimate Gaming Championship Gears of War, Microsoft Gears of War 4, $200,000 tournament. It's got a lot of words to its name. But Eric and I will be running the merchandise booth.
Yes, we will.
Selling shirts and hawking wares for UGC and Microsoft and talking to the people and trying to turn them on to Surreal Talk and other shows on the network. Long story short, though, if you come and meet us there and tell us you heard about us on our show and your listeners, we'll probably already know who you are. But we'll also hook you up with a shirt. We got a whole bunch of shirts made for the event.
Yeah, so if you're anywhere near Jersey and you're not doing anything from Thursday to Sunday and it's not too long of a drive, come out and see us. Meet us. We'll shake your hand, and I'll wash my hands before I shake your hand so that way you won't get infected with anything.
You probably won't wash your hands.
I don't wash my hands ever. No, I do wash them. That'd be gross, wouldn't it?
I just shook your hand earlier.
Yeah. But yeah, come on out, man. Get a shirt. See us in Jersey. It'll be fun. I've never been this far away from home before.
You know, I was looking
I've
at
never
our,
seen an
on
ocean?
The group. We might as well pop the group here in a minute. But
oh, yeah.
We have a poll on the group about where people are from. We only had two people that live in Jersey on that poll.
Really?
So let's get Jersey representing this time.
You know who I would? Jay and Silent Bob.
I don't think they're listeners.
Red Bank.
Yep.
That's where they're from, right? Jersey?
Yep. All right. If you haven't joined the group yet, check out our group on Facebook, facebook.com/groups.
The group's fun. That's where it's
at. /SurrealTalk group. Visit our website, SurrealTalkPodcast.com. Be sure to vote in our poll, Team Eric or Team Everett. It's pretty obvious on my end, Team Everett.
Yep.
It's tied right now, though. It's like, what, 82-82?
I don't know.
Something like that.
I don't go and vote, so.
Please keep your reviews coming on iTunes, on Facebook.
The reviews are, we're doing great on the reviews. Oh, did you see the email about the guy that was a truck driver?
And yeah, he emailed him back.
We've literally, he said, this might sound weird, but we've literally traveled thousands of miles together. I was like, motherfucker, hit me in my heart.
Hit me in my heart.
He hit me in my heart with that one guy.
That was nice, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. He said, keep up the good work. He
I love
believes
emails
in us.
Like that.
Yeah.
Even if you can't give us a review, just send us an email. Tell us you're digging the show. info@surrealtalkpodcast.com. We'll get back with you.
Definitely.
It'll probably be me, not Eric, because he doesn't work the email too well.
I don't do email, do good. Email and
it's
Twitter.
It's too new. Email's too new
email
for
email and Twitter.
The Twitter?
The Twitter. The Twitter's
that,
fucking...
That Tweeterverse?
Okay, so like I don't understand Twitter, okay? I don't get what retweeting. Is that just like sharing?
Do you basically.
Like when you share
so
from
you
Facebook?
Want me to talk about Twitter in relation to Facebook?
That would make it easier for me, yeah.
So you understand Facebook. Yeah, retweet is basically share.
Okay.
You can add your own little line onto it, but you're still stuck to the 140 characters.
So instead of like share now, you can write post.
Yeah, basically. Okay. Basically. Wow, you are really slow.
I don't do Twitter,
stuff.
Bud. I just fucking don't do Twitter. I don't know nothing about Twitter.
It's not difficult. It's like, think about it like text messaging to the masses. A short little message that gets sent out. Sometimes it has a picture attached.
Now, do you have to follow somebody for them to get your tweet?
They have to follow you.
They have to follow you. So
right.
So you can tweet something, but it'll only go to your followers.
Right.
But can people search you and see what you tweeted without being
yes.
a follower?
Yes.
So it's like Reddit.
Kinda, but no.
So it's like Reddit and Facebook mixed together.
No, it's like nothing like that, because that would be awesome. There'd be all kinds of features. Twitter has like almost no features.
Then why is fucking Twitter so popular?
I have no clue, because if you go on Twitter, it's more or less like an advertising wall.
Yeah.
Just a scroll of advertisements.
Anywhere the fuck, man.
I don't post a lot on Twitter for the show either, just because, one, we don't have a lot of people on there. We do get a lot. Anytime I do post something, we do get a lot of interaction.
We got the one guy that shares our stuff. He retweets us.
Kyle, yeah, he does a good job
with
that.
Yeah, he retweets us. So. Shout out.
You got anything else for this week? Anybody out there in the chat got anything?
No, I mean... I don't have nothing.
Chris says I must be loving this shit up, Chris Dabney. I don't know about that.
Chris, you're absolutely right.
Loving
any chance
shit.
That he gets to
flex my nerd
flex
muscle?
His intellect, yeah, and tell you how much superior and smarter he is.
Do I come off that way? Is like so?
No, but I know you.
You think I enjoy
but
that?
I know you enjoy. You get off on that.
You know how long I've been trying to? It's been my job for years to explain stuff to people. I don't have fun. And get off on explaining stuff to people.
Yeah, you do.
Being the smart guy. No, I do not.
Yeah, you do.
I kind of get tired of it from time to time.
No, you don't.
Yeah, you shut up. You don't know me. You don't know me. You don't know my life. What I've been through.
Is this what my life is?
It is anymore. All right, let's end the show. We've been tattering on for 10 minutes now after our content. So.
No, I'm not on much. You can follow me all you want. I can't guarantee that I'll tweet much of anything.
What's your Twitter?
Pissed Off Jedi.
@ Pissed Off Jedi?
I don't know.
You don't know? Let me look it up.
What do you mean, at? It's like, I'm tweeting at this guy?
Yeah, when you tweet and you want to send a message to somebody, you put @ their Twitter handle.
That's fine. That's fucking stupid.
You're @ Pissed Off Jedi 1 is Eric. So anybody listening, follow @ Pissed Off Jedi 1. That's Eric on Twitter. Let's try to get him 1,000 followers like that.
I will totally, like, read what you got. And I might even be able to type something back.
Your phone's going to explode.
I wish it would.
Wouldn't that be hilarious?
I wish it would blow up, literally.
Tomorrow, I'm going to release this episode tomorrow morning, and I hope by tomorrow afternoon you've got 500 followers.
Right. I'm not interesting enough to have followers.
You're horrible. You never post on there. You don't even have a picture yet.
I don't.
No, you're a red egg.
A red egg?
That's it. You're an egg.
That's the picture I want on there, actually, funny enough.
That's what I was going to put up
I was going to put a red egg on there.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Reynolds @ Burrhead34.
Hey, let's talk about next week's stream. I don't know how that's going to work yet. If we're going to be in Atlantic City, all day on Saturday and Sunday. Maybe we do a nighttime stream. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. How is that going to work?
We might not even do a stream next week. We might just record the show and release it on Monday.
Yeah. You know, we'll be disappointing some of our faithful Surrealites.
I know. I know. That's horrible. But, hey, that's show business, huh?
Yeah. So we'll look for more information throughout the week and as it gets closer to the weekend on the Facebook and on the
group. Get on the group. The group is where we'll really be telling
you. Oh, I'm sure he'll put it on Twitter.
I'm going to stab you. You're going to walk home today. Generally, we carpool, but you're walking today. All right, we'll catch you guys next week.
All right, thanks a lot. This has been Surreal Talk.
Please, wake up.
This has been Surreal Talk, a lineupmedia.fm production. Listen online at surrealtalkpodcast.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets.
How come I know so much? What the hell is going on around here? Who are you people?
Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter and get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.
I'm mad as hell! I'm not going to take it anymore!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.